Janae and Gola Jr., the podcast.
Everybody love everybody getting tested early and often today. Social distance hands haven't been thrown yet, but we'll see if that changes anytime soon. It's Janae and Gola Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Gola Jr., two-time WNBA All-Star Janae Agumake here with you on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests join us on the show, Pennzoil Performance Line. And coming up in about 10 minutes, we got your bottom five in the NFL from this past week. Janae had the top five before. I have, for some reason, been branded as the negative one on this show. And I feel like it's just because I do a really good bottom five.
Please tell me Philip Rivers is on there. Please tell me he's on there.
Listen, you got to wait and find out. We only got 5 minutes, 10 minutes until we get there.
That was the funniest thing I saw this weekend.
Philip Rivers trying to tackle flat from his back is a difficult visual, but it's one we all have the responsibility to process here.
He tried it.
He did his best. His best just wasn't nearly good enough in that situation. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive celebrating 8 years of donating cars to veterans in need. Learn more at keystoprogress.com. And I thought this was interesting. We saw earlier, Adam Schefter tweeted, the NFL owners approved a proposal to add two playoff teams, 8 in each conference, if regular season games get canceled, meaningful regular season games. So the NFL is adjusting down the stretch of their season to maximize the amount of teams that they have playing should things change. Feels very relevant to college football right now. And in that end, we're delighted to be joined now by Peter Burns, who you can hear hosting on the SEC Network. He also hosts Best Week Ever with Peter Burns and Katie George on Sunday mornings on ESPN Radio from 7 to 10 Eastern. And Peter, I know you've been talking about on Twitter this idea that the College Football Playoff Committee needs to think about pushing back their selection date. Is that only reinforced by today's news? 3 postponed games now coming up for the SEC this weekend.
Yeah, I don't know how it's not. Hello, everybody, by the way. Nice to finally not be yelling at Gojo early on a Sunday morning after Notre Dame victory. So it is today. I think everything's on the table at this point. The problem is that when you saw the college football playoff decide earlier this year, listen, out of all years, we're still going to stay at 4, right? The NFL decided to expand. You had Major League Baseball decided to expand, hell, like an hour before first pitch, right? And everyone wanted to expand in college football playoff. This would have been the year with nobody playing the same amount of games. College football playoff could have easily have said, listen, this is the year. We're going to dip our toes into it. I know the contract doesn't look that way or it's supposed to be that way, but let's try 8. And honestly, I think they all knew that it was going to be tough just to get 4 games in, much less try to get a little bit greedy and try to get 8 teams and an additional weekend of games. And I think that's what we're seeing. The conversations was going to be had that later in the season, you're not only do you have flu season come up, you have more kids that are going to test positive for COVID, but also an interesting wrinkle in all of this and is the fact, guys, that now you're starting to see teams that are 2-4 or 0-3 or just struggling. And at some point, those kids wanting to stay part of the quarantine and scot-free of everything, they're getting a little bit more lax, where I think that's part combined with Halloween weekend is why we're seeing all these cancellations of games coming around.
That is a really good point. Peter Burns of the SEC Network hosts the Best Week Ever with Katie George here with the Sunshine and Gola Jr. Now, first, I'd like to just say I understand what it's like to have to wake up and argue with Junior. I have to do that for 3 hours, you know, every day, Monday through Friday. But I digress. Okay, you were talking about the implications of what lax teams potentially could have on other games, because we're in a situation where this weekend the SEC has a number of games being postponed, including LSU and Alabama. Now, do you think, I really feel like this is an inflection point where, you know, this is an opportunity for the conference to say, hey, we need to double down, because if we made this commitment, you need to follow it through. Do you think that there's anything that the conference can put into place now to ensure the security of the games moving forward?
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, outside of just waving the magic wand of saying, listen, COVID be gone, it's just not going to happen at this point. And again, you know, the SEC has tested as much as possible outside of daily testing, which I believe maybe Alabama is one of the only teams that are doing that. But keep in mind, Alabama is one of the only teams that haven't had a monster outbreak as opposed to some of these other programs. And it's not just the SEC, right? I mean, we're seeing this in the Pac-12 in the first weekend with games canceled and throughout college football. This is only going to happen more and more. The question is how do you continue to have a season and how do you get these games in? I personally don't believe that they're going to change the SEC championship game date, because keep in mind, if the college football playoff stays where it's at and selects them the 20th, where you're obviously would need the college football playoff to move and budge off those dates, which I don't believe, frankly, is going to happen. Now, what would be intriguing to me, and remember, this all boils down to the NFL, like you brought up. The NFL had basically stuck their flag in the ground and said, we're not moving the NFL date. Like, don't even think about it. We're not doing it. However, can you start backdating a different time schedule to say, all right, combine stays when it's at. What gives you a month previous to the combine of kind of what maybe late February that you could extend the college football playoff or playoffs a little bit later? I just don't think that the playoff committee is willing to look at that at this point.
Peter, to that end, we've heard this floated out a little bit out there, nothing concrete with it yet, but where would you be at on the idea of playing multiple games on the weekend of the SEC championship, sort of like what we're seeing in the Big Ten where everyone in the conference is going to play that weekend if there are games that need to be made up and we can't find open common dates before that?
Gojo, I'm actually all for this even after this year, right? If there's like the bonus week where you're like, hey, listen, you're going to pair 2-2 and 3-3 and 4-4 and kind of make it a inner bowl season within the games. But, you know, I think right now the teams are legitimately trying to figure out how they can get these games played, not only for the kids, but for the revenue for the athletic departments as well, for to sell, you know, to get their television contracts whole as well. So they are trying every which way to get this season in. And at that point, everything is on the table. I mean, you may see that the SEC and what they've done, just like the NFL, is take a look at and go, all right, let's say LSU Alabama was supposed to be played this week. Well, what if all of a sudden LSU and Ole Miss game is moved back a little bit later and now LSU Alabama play then? I mean, everything's going to be on the table. And then there's a question of, you would think every single one of the team wants to be a part of playing these games. I'm not sure if you could say that like at Mississippi State right now. How you know, they barely had enough players to play Vandy this weekend. How often is Mike Leach, with everything that's going on right there, and his team going, man, sign me up for one more weekend that we're going to play college football? I think everything is being looked at this point. And it's not just the SEC, y'all. I think it's every single conference is going to have to deal with this, as we're about 2 weeks removed from Halloween now.
No question, Peter. I think this is going to be an all-encompassing problem for college football, and it's one that the leadership right now, we heard Greg Sankey on with Paul Feinbaum yesterday talking about this, and I'm sure it'll be the same for Kevin Warren, John Swofford, Larry Scott, and everybody else in this process. So Peter Burns with us, SEC Network host, also host of Best Week Ever with Katie George Sunday mornings on ESPN Radio. Peter, we also know, monster golf fan for you here. We've had so much downer right now in this conversation that I want to leave you on a positive note. We saw Tiger Woods, his Masters meal was posted today, went with steak and chicken fajitas for this week. And so I'm always curious, man, as much time as you spend around the golf course, have you had your Masters meal planned out for an entire lifetime at this point?
I have not, but now I'm thinking about it. Off the cuff, if we're going appetizer, see, I don't want to do these like real fancy meals. I want just nasty. I want Panda Express orange chicken.
Yup.
For the appetizer.
Oh,
give me that.
Yes. Yup. Goody.
Give me some crawfish etouffee from Ruffino's in Baton Rouge.
Yes,
you know,
Gojo,
you've been a part of that. Like dessert, just like I want, like at some point, a nacho cheese fountain, I think would be pretty cool just to have around.
That's kind of concerning me a little bit, but continue.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, probably not really COVID safe at this point, but that's okay. and just a bunch of double stuff Oreos for dessert. Like, I just want a smorgasbord of just like what you would have at like a mall buffet and just see how everybody reacts to it.
Peter, I know you and I have our differences at times, but you're a bad man, and I appreciate what you just did for that menu, sir. That is outstanding. Peter Burns, incredible stuff, man.
Love you all. And again, I'm trying to recalculate my brain right now and just go, I'm thankful for the sporting events we do have as opposed to being upset of the ones that we are being canceled and postponed now. So
amen.
Positive Pete here.
Positive Peter, as always. That's why we love having you around, brother. We appreciate the time and insight, as always, man. We'll talk to you soon.
Later, y'all.
Peter Burns, you can check him out again Sunday morning, 7 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio. Best Week Ever with Katie George. All right, let's ride that wave of positivity straight into the NFL's bottom five. We'll do that next. It's Chenan Gould Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Chenan Gould Jr., the podcast.
Chenan Gould Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Gould Jr., Chenan Gould McKay. about 10 minutes, we get to hear from our very own ESPN NFL analyst, Dan Orlovsky, who I heard going at it with Max Kellerman earlier today, talking about Cam Newton, comparisons to Carson Wentz, and what his future looks like. I'm very curious to actually see what Cam looks like in the NFL going forward, and if his future is with the Patriots or starting at all next year. Going to be a great conversation there. Chinay and Golic Jr. reminding you, hit us up on that Dr. Pepper Twitter feed, at Chinay, at Mike Golic Jr. As we get ready for this weekend's NFL slate, going up potentially against a Tiger Woods-dominated Masters, if it came down to Tiger on Sunday or the NFL on Sunday, which one are you picking, at Chinay, at Mike Golic Jr.?
Tiger. Stanford, wearing the red on Sundays. Okay. It's easy for me. It's super easy.
It always comes back to the allegiance, which, listen, after the last couple of days I've had, I could fully appreciate.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm actually with you on this one. I think it's going to be hard to top that. Hopefully we get it. Like you said, Chinay, I think you put this perfectly. We guard expectations going into this.
Absolutely. I agree.
All right, perfect. Well, we guard expectations for Sunday in the Masters. There are no expectations for the group coming up now. We did the top five before. It's bottom five time in the NFL.
Which teams were great?
Breaks a tackle at the 15, 10, 5, touchdown!
What player was not?
Does he hang on? Intercepted! He couldn't hang on!
This is the NFL top five, bottom five.
Started from the bottom. We still at the bottom.
We are still at the bottom, but... there's been some movement this week.
Tell me when I get to sing, because I know they're going to be on there. Go ahead.
Important development here. Let's start at number five.
Number five.
Chinay, go what? Ahead and sing now.
Sammy wasn't out there, but Sammy and the Jets. Travi is going to be on the Jets.
And that is the reason they are still at number five right now, because I feel like we are far past the point in the season where the hopes have shifted. We have shifted the energy, as Cliff would say on our show, to next season. I feel like that's where the Jets live. The Jets went out last night and played a game that came down to the final drive against the New England Patriots that had been a thorn in their side for so long. And they came out of it with two things. One, they did some damage there. Put it in 300 terms, they made the God King bleed in a lot of ways last night. And they also preserved that defeated record that's going to get them closer and closer to that number one pick, Janae.
Oh my gosh, was that actually a win-win for the Jets?
I competed and
still got their odds higher.
How low we have set the bar around here.
How low can you go? How low can you go?
Apparently lower. Number four.
Number four.
Number four, we can go lower. The Buccaneers' game plan this week going into a game against the New Orleans Saints, who now sweep the regular season series against this team. And Chinay, watching Drew Brees, certainly with a full complement of weapons, was going to produce better results always. But seeing the amount of zone they played against one of the most accurate, if not the most accurate, quarterbacks of all time with that full complement of weapons, offensively, seemingly going away from Mike Evans, refusing to target a quarterback, although their head coach Bruce Arians will say that he was wide open. Been throwing a bit of shade his quarterback's way. Ultimately, Chinay fell woefully short against a team they see twice a year with the quarterback that they have just acquired to try and get them over the hump.
Yeah, it's one of those things where you play so poorly that it makes the other side look like a genius, and that's exactly what the Saints look like, so much so that they were dancing, doing the heel toe in the locker room.
So much heel toe, so little time.
Number three.
More on the injury front for the Cowboys right now, who already at this point are down. Their starting quarterback, Dak Prescott. Their left tackle, Tyron Smith. Their right tackle, L. Collins. Their tight end, Blake Jarwin. Their D tackle, Gerald McCoy. Tristan Hill. And now, one of their stud rookies, it looks like Trevon Diggs, may be missing significant time with an injury as well. And Chinay, the Dallas Cowboys injury woes, we had to watch what was an absolutely horrific game in so many ways against the Steelers, where they played down to the level of their competition and are now dealing with problems outside of it. But I genuinely feel bad in a lot of ways for this year's Dallas Cowboys outfit that's just seen so much attrition on a roster that came in with so much hope.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because unfortunately this is the bottom five, and what we talked about with the Jets applies here for the Cowboys. You're looking for moral victories at this point.
Moral victories, and they are few and far between. Number two.
Number two.
Ask and you shall receive, Chinay.
Yes.
After an interception with about a minute 20 left in the first quarter, Phillip Rivers' tackling effort showed up on display. Phillip Rivers, aging veteran quarterback of the Indianapolis Colts, who this year has come in to lift them over the hump there as well after Jacoby Brissett was not deemed enough last year. And instead, what we have seen still are a lot of the turnovers that plague Phil. What we just saw recently was an attempt to tackle flat from his back like a cockroach in the throes of a death rattle that ultimately were fruitless. Chiné, where were you when you saw Phillip Rivers attempt to tackle? Because it was glorious.
Honestly, I was on my couch and I was like, go get him, get him, you can get him. I saw that attempt and I was like, oh, that's cute. That reminded me, you know, he's 38 years old, so that's what happens.
You know what? I don't want my old quarterback getting injured trying to tackle anyway. So smart play by Phillip Rivers is how I will try and make this sound better. And number one.
Number one,
we weren't going any place other than this week. The Seattle Seahawks defense, Chiné, historically bad pace. I read the tweet yesterday, and I will read it again. Andrew Siciliano of the NFL Network tweeted, the Seahawks aren't just on pace for the worst pass defense in NFL history. No, they're primed to shatter the all-time record by nearly 1,000 yards. The 2011 Packers gave up 4,796 yards of passing offense. The Seahawks are on pace right now for 5,794 yards of passing offense. And, man, Josh Allen gave them 400-plus more yards of it this weekend. Was it 400-plus yards this weekend? It felt like 400-plus yards this weekend. It was a nightmare, as has been that defense for most of the season.
You know, it's funny. When I hear about this and I watch this, because we talk about the quarterback, Russell Wilson, and how he's smaller than normal quarterbacks in the sense of what you'd want from that position being plus 6 feet, right? Or he probably says he's 6 feet, but you know how that it is. I'm looking at a situation that's like small ball. Sort of seems like the Rockets. They're just going to try to outscore you at this point.
They are going to have to try and do that at this point. That's your NFL bottom five here on Chiné and Golic Jr. Mike Golic Jr., Chiné Agumake. You guys got Dan Orlovsky coming in a little bit. You got Jason Fitz coming over in a little bit. But right now, we got to give you the fastest preview because it's Tuesday night in the Mac, Chiné. And boy, oh boy, do we have a winner for Maction right now. What if I told you that the Mac East might be decided tonight? That the team who won the Mac last year, Miami, the Redhawks, facing the 2018 MAC East Division champion Buffalo Bulls in this one. And Chiné, we're going to see my former offensive coordinator Chuck Martin, who's been at the helm for the Redhawks now for a number of years, had great success, culminated in that conference championship, have to trot out a quarterback that threw his first pass since high school last week in A.J. Mayer and led them to a come-from-behind victory in week one. And then on the other side for Buffalo, Chiné, I'm telling everyone, strap in and get ready to look at Jarrett Patterson right now. If you don't know the name, get used to it. Pound for pound, the best skill player in the MAC this year. Primed to go over 51 yards away from 3,000 career yards, and he's done it in 28 games. This guy is a tackle-breaking, open-field nightmare, and he does it all in a neat little 5-9 package. I am ecstatic to watch this offense at work. I am ecstatic to watch this ground and pound. Two of the best teams in the MAC on a Tuesday night. Not much more you can ask for, Chiné.
I mean, the energy with the return of the MAC, we're here for. Are you going to try to like drop any cool references into your broadcast? Do you have anything for today?
I can promise you this. I am missing out on watching The Bachelorette live tonight because I care so much about college football, but I will be damned if Tayshia does not get some love on this broadcast. You can book that one. Coming up next, you can also book Dan Orlovsky, giving you the insight into what to expect from the future of Cam Newton and so much more. We will get to that after this word from ButcherBox. You going to the grocery store? It's on everyone's to-do list. The problem is no one likes to actually do it, especially during the holidays. That's why you need to sign up for ButcherBox. ButcherBox ships high-quality meat conveniently right to your door. They partner with folks who believe in better, going above and beyond when it comes to caring for animals, the environment, and sustainability. From free-range organic chicken to heritage-breed pork, 100% grass-fed and grass-finished beef to fresh-caught seafood like salmon and scallops, ButcherBox has over 20 different cuts of meat to choose from, and their boxes ship fresh right to your door. Plus, the website is loaded with awesome recipes that the whole family is going to love. I'm going on there and looking for pork chop recipes tonight. I've got them at home, thawing out right now. We're about to get busy. And for a limited time, ButcherBox is knocking off a big to-do from your holiday shopping trip by giving you a free Thanksgiving turkey in your first box when you sign up at butcherbox.com/CJR. That's right. When you sign up at butcherbox.com/CJR, they're going to give you a free Thanksgiving turkey in your first box. That's butcherbox.com/CJR. Back after this, Chiné and Golic Jr.
Chiné and Golic Jr., the podcast.
We are cool like that. Chiné and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Chiné Agumake and Jason Fitz here subbing in for Mike Golic Jr., who's on the call for Buffalo and Miami of Ohio tonight. Hey, Fitz, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well now that I have like the crazy out, because Junior left. We can bring, you know, the chill vibes back in. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Now, in a couple of minutes, we're going to dive really deep into the Patriots win and the idea that you brought up, Fitz, that we could be treating New England way better than normal when it comes to bad teams. I know you probably will go off on that. But first, I really want to head back to the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line with the new Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline, because we get to chat with our own ESPN NFL analyst, a former quarterback out of UConn, Dan Orlovsky. Now, Dan, before I get to the nitty-gritty of football, we've been asking everyone today, because the Masters tee off this week, and everyone's talking about Tiger Woods' meal, because, you know, the last winner always gets to pick the meal, and he picked sushi, steak, and chicken fajitas and three different desserts. What would you pick if you won the Masters and had to feed everybody?
Yeah, this is easy. First of all, it's my favorite sporting event in the world. I would pick chicken parm, I'd go french fries, I'd go penny vodka with chicken cutlet in it, and then cheesecake is my dessert. Boom.
What kind of cheesecake, Dan?
New York style cheesecake.
There's
only one style that's worthy of anybody's time.
Cosign. For my birthday, I always tell people, get me a strawberry cheesecake. But I want to go back to a Monday, because clearly, you know, Cam Newton, they pulled off a win versus the Jets. Yes, I'll say that again, versus the Jets. What did you take from his performance?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, it's the second straight week that Cam has played good football as he's kind of coming back from COVID and all that stuff. So that's really encouraging. I don't want to put it into context of the Jets. Like, listen, it's the NFL. You got to show up and play every single week. The Patriots are still not a very good football team. They're not going to go to the playoffs, so let's not pretend like anything kind of that happened last night is going to springboard them into something. But I will say this. There is not a player in the NFL that I have gained more appreciation and respect for than Cam Newton this year. The way that he has been accountable and honest and transparent and upright and just straight up, in the midst of like some really difficult times, I'd imagine, up and downs emotionally, the way he's handled that, like if I'm a team, and we'll see what happens the rest of this year, but if I'm a team that I'm a general manager, like I need a guy in my building like that. Like I just need a guy, especially a veteran that's been at the top. I want a guy that stands for everything that's right when it comes to the character of a football team and player. And so I've just gained so much appreciation and respect for Cam, not only from last night, but really through this last 5 or 6 weeks.
All right, Dan, everything you just said echoes some sentiments I heard from Field Yates last night on the Monday Night Football digital show we do to pregame the show. And he said in that moment that he's heard so many positives about Cam the person and Cam the quarterback behind the scenes that he believes there's a real shot that Cam is still the starting quarterback of the New England Patriots next year. You buying that?
Absolutely not. This is a roster that needs to get rebuilt. I mean, this is an offense that's not very good. That's why, like, you can't. Don't kind of confuse what happened last night. Like, up until last night, since Cam's come back, he's accounted for 7 sacks, 8 turnovers, and 1 touchdown over the last month of football. So, and this is the worst they've been when it comes to turnover ratio in almost 20 years. So, I know last night was awesome and the comeback was really cool, but no, I don't see Cam as this future. This is a roster that needs kind of retooling and rebuilding in a big way. And a lot of it depends on where they are in the draft. You know, if they get one of those 3 or 4 first picks, unlikely, but, you know, is quarterback on their roster. The free agent, I think there's going to be a lot of veteran quarterbacks that are available as well next year. Matt Ryan, Matt Stafford. And so I don't see Cam as their starting quarterback next year, no.
And let's stay there. Dan Orlovsky, ESPN NFL Live, co-host and analyst here with us on Chanae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. And I love this, Dan, because you're a quarterback. You did it in college at a high level. You did it in the pros. And now let's lean in there, because there's going to be a really interesting situation develop over the next few days. The Steelers have a couple of key players on the COVID reserve list, including Ben Roethlisberger, their quarterback. Do you think that the Steelers can stay undefeated without playing Ben potentially versus the Bengals?
The Bengals are much better than people think, especially with Burrow there. And so this would be a significant challenge if they don't have Big Ben Roethlisberger. You know, this offense has been stagnant the past couple weeks, especially early on in football games. And then at halftime, they make some really good adjustments. The past 2 weeks, it's been let's go to empty, and Big Ben kind of calls plays at the line of scrimmage. So if they've got to play this game without Ben, and Mason Rudolph's going to be the guy, you just have to be very kind of focused on your plan if you're the Steelers offense. Like, number one, I'm gonna live in empty early on and just find the matchup that he likes and say, just throw it to that guy. I'm not going to ask Mason Rudolph to think a ton. Number two, I'm not running the ball a bunch on first down. I don't want to get myself into 2nd and 8 or 2nd and 9 and 3rd and 7s. That's exactly where I don't want to be. So if I have to throw it a little bit more on first down to kind of maybe go first down, second down, first down, I want to do that. And so it would be challenging, Janae, to kind of like sit there and go, yeah, this is a no-brainer win for Pittsburgh because Cincinnati is a challenging football team. I'd say this. I would be more surprised that Pittsburgh wins the game without Big Ben than I would be if they did or didn't.
We're talking to ESPN NFL analyst and NFL Live co-host Dan Orlovsky. All right, Dan, I went this long. It was professional. Didn't even address your tweet. You tweeted out this morning some love for the Raiders offense, some love for the Raiders playoff chances, and some love for Derek Carr. Now, you've been very consistent on this conversation, but I would love to give you this platform to really expand on your thoughts to what's made this offense particularly good this year.
Yeah, Fitz, I'd say that the Raiders as a team are the team that is not getting talked about enough nationally, and I've been pushing us on NFL Live for about 2 weeks now. And then Derek Carr is the player that's not getting talked about enough nationally. He leads the most efficient offense in the NFL. And if you look at kind of some of these kind of telltale signs or themes that propel teams into the playoffs, there's a lot, but one of them is third down offense. Like, can you stay on the field and kind of control the football, and especially when you're playing against teams that have explosive offense, right? Think the Kansas City Chiefs, think the Green Bay Packers, think the Buffalo Bills. You keep those explosive offenses on the sidelines. And third down, they are so good on third down. Two reasons why. I think they formation people as good as anybody in the NFL. They got pieces, and so they use those pieces really importantly with their formations. And then Derek's doing a really good job of throwing the football to the right place. And that sounds simple, but trust me, it is not. And so third down efficiency, if you go back to last year, the top five teams in the NFL, when it came down to third down production, they were all in the playoffs outside of Dallas, and Dallas played on week 17 to get into the playoffs, right? And so it's just been a really, really impressive performance by them on third down. I think it's going to be a big reason why they make the playoffs.
Music to Jason Fitz's ears. By doing this, Dan, you're giving the much-needed love to Fitz, Raiders fan extraordinaire. You can follow him on Twitter at DanOrlovsky7 and also check him out every day on NFL Live. I'm a French fries girl, so I will always stand with you when it comes to food, Dan.
What kind of French fry, though? Like, are we talking shoestring? Are we talking traditional cut, crinkle cut, steak
fries? I like it meaty. I like steak fries. A lot of salt.
That's like my wife. That's disgusting.
She has, but clearly she has good enough taste to marry you. There
right,
you go.
Right?
Thanks, Dan.
Wow. Well, you totally redeemed yourself.
There we go. That part. We appreciate you, Dan.
Peace. Thanks, Dan.
Well, you know, it's funny. As we just heard from Dan, the quarterback situation in New England is one that we should absolutely continue to follow. So coming up next, let's keep it going. We're going to decide whether we're giving the Patriots, you know, too big of a pass, even though they're, should I say it, still bad. That's next on Janae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Janae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Janae Ogwumike and Jason Fitz rocking with y'all. Now at the top of the hour, we will catch you up on the latest with the Steelers and pretty much the entire landscape of college football as it deals with COVID. But Fitz, there were two takes that you had in the break that I want you to really quickly address. One, I want to know what your Masters meal is, meaning everyone's talking about how Tiger Woods, you know, the last winner of the Masters, gets to pick the menu this time, and he picked like chicken fajitas and some other stuff, sushi, steak, and all that jazz. But what would you pick if you were in charge of the menu?
It's tough, but I think after some deliberation, I'm going with a solid charcuterie board for the appetizer because I always love a charcuterie board. And then for the meal, prime rib and risotto. And for the dessert, as many layers as humanly can be given to a cake with cream cheese icing. I really don't care whether it's red velvet or lemon, just as long as there's cream cheese frosting on it.
You might be winning the day with that food take. That's like everything that I
very
love.
Very rich and decadent.
Now, you also said something about your experience personally with the Masters. I would like you to address that as well.
So I'm not a big golf guy. A lot of people know I'm not a big golf guy. And so years ago, I was on 102.5, the ESPN affiliate in Nashville. I was co-hosting the morning show, and my co-host, Braden Gall, at the time was talking about how I would be a big golf guy if I just experienced Augusta. And I acquiesced. I was like, maybe I just need to be around Augusta and feel the magic of it. And I looked down at my phone during the break, and I'm trying to figure out why my phone is blowing up. And it turns out that on two separate tours when I was in music, two separate times, we played concerts at Augusta, in fact, on the 18th hole. And each time, I was offered the opportunity as a band guy to play a round of golf, and each time I declined. I gave it to a crew guy. Like, I don't like golf, so why not let a golf person go do this?
Does this make anybody mad here?
Listen, I didn't know that he gave it to someone who did like golf, so that makes us a little bit better. But even if you're not a golf guy, I feel like just having the story of being able to tell people that you played Augusta, which is notoriously incredibly hard to get on unless you're a member, like to give that up, you're a good man, Fitz. Or you know, a little misguided.
I think the fact that I didn't even realize I had played Augusta tells you how lacking that whole moment has. I know everybody else loves the Magic of the Masters. I get it. It's just not my thing.
But tell people how beautiful it is, though, for being there.
I don't really remember it.
So. Oh, gosh. Let me just save you right here. Save you from yourself. You're not a big golf guy, but you're a big football guy, okay? And we had a Monday Night Football matchup where the Patriots take down the Jets, okay? I know it's the Jets, and Dan Orlovsky told me not to do this. I know that a lot of people are really excited about Cam Newton's performance. Dan Orlovsky even said it. Hey, he's had two really good games trending in the right direction. Even got a LeBron James tweet where he said, you know, big time all night long, hell of a game, game-winning drive to add on to it. Yes, a lot of love, but you might have something else to say to Patriots fans, Jason Fitz. So we might as well do it all, get your feelings out in a segment we like to call One and Done.
So much to say.
Are you good? Like, do you need a minute to breathe? Do you need some water?
So little time.
I'm trying to balance a lot right now.
One and Done.
So Fitz, Patriots fans have to be happy that they actually won, and a lot of people are relieved because we want Cam Newton to play well. And I say we because this is my fantasy backup quarterback who scored more for me than Lamar Jackson, who was my starter, but that's another conversation for another day. When you think about Patriots fans and even the media as a whole, do you think we're being too nice to the Patriots currently?
There's no doubt, Sinead. Like, the craziest thing that we're doing right now is we're trying to excuse what is quite simply a bad football team. Wake up and just see the Patriots for who they are. They stink. They stink because their roster's not good enough, because they took a flyer on a quarterback that may or may not be good enough for them, and because they simply can't get the results on the field. And the stunning part of this is going into the draft, when they didn't draft a quarterback, it's because they knew Jarrett Stidham was the answer. Then they play Hoyer, not Stidham, showing us that he was never the answer to begin with, but they still skate free through all of that. Then they sign Cam, and they're smarter than every other franchise because they got to value a quarterback. Then Cam stinks, and we suddenly forgive the entire process of it. Now we're trying to justify why one win against the awful Jets are going to put them back in the playoffs. Just stop apologizing for it. Don't make them smarter than everybody for tanking. Don't make them smarter for everybody for the mistakes they've made. They've drafted poorly, particularly at the top of the draft. They haven't spent the money they need to spend, and whatever excuses we want to make for why they were good, they stink this year, and it is that simple. We need to stop apologizing for the fact that they stink and just embrace it. Guess what, New England fans? You get to feel what everybody else feels every single year now. Your team stinks. You got to deal with it and hope they're better next year. It's that easy.
Can we give him some snaps? You sound like a real Raider fan that's been waiting for your moment.
Look, I've seen one winning season since 2002. Put that in perspective. One winning season. And look, everybody goes through it. Like, everybody goes through a year where they're no good. I just can't figure out why we're trying to turn this into anything other than that. Like, the Patriots aren't explosive enough on offense. Their quarterback isn't good enough. The coaching hasn't been good enough. It's not good enough.
Okay, but can we separate the arguments when it comes to the Patriots? Is that possible in the sense that Cam Newton, obviously he struggled, and they're, you know, added into the fold of the struggle is that he did test positive for coronavirus and was out. We don't know what that really affects the body in the long term. Can we separate the argument from the Patriots and their quarterback, or do we have to lump them all together?
No, it all gets lumped. But and by the way, how many teams have dealt with people that have tested positive for COVID and they're still out there playing, right? I mean, the Bengals beat the Titans a few weeks ago with one starter on the offensive line. You heard Dan Orlovsky earlier talking about the Raiders and how they played on offense. Let's acknowledge their starting offensive line together has played less than five snaps all season. So you talk about COVID, everybody's hit with it, and the ramifications are going to be different for everybody. But the fact that this is the one instance where we're bringing it up, it's a valid discussion if we want to have the discussion for every player that's impacted. But we don't. We only want to have it with the Patriots.
What is the way forward then for the Patriots? Because if they're bad, they should probably want to lose. But what they did versus the Jets is win, even though I think that's a situation where you have to win because you don't want to be that team.
Yeah, and I don't know that the Patriots are ever going to turn around and accept tanking. They'll have players that come back that opted out this year that will make them better. But they, quite frankly, are going to have to use the draft capital they have in a better way. And they did what every team does. They took a flyer on a value quarterback thinking it would work out, and it hasn't worked out. So that's okay, but they need to rebound from it and make better decisions this offseason. And they're just not used to having to deal with this.
They are not used to having to deal with this, but guess what? The Raiders have been, and they're on the other end of the spectrum. It's funny how, like, life comes at you fast, and the power has flipped. Now, the fact of the matter is that the Patriots, they really found a way to win on Monday, albeit versus the Jets, Fitz, okay? I know a lot of people use that caveat, but a win is a win. Now, will the Steelers do the same thing this weekend if Big Ben is out? We'll explore that next on Chenea and Gold Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN+.